Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our online experience. Thank you guys for joining in with us, man. We are so excited to spend the morning with you. My name is Jovan. I'm the student pastor here at Christ Church. There's a few things that I want you to do before we jump right into our worship experience. The first thing I want you to do is, number one, share this experience. Go on your phones. I know you got your phones. Even if you're watching on your phone, go to the share tab. We want to reach as many people as possible. We feel like God is calling us and encouraging us to reach people with the message that we hold that others need to hear. But also, here, let's have some fun. Let us know where you're watching from. Listen, whether the city, listen, we have people watching from out of state. Wherever you're watching from, let us know. We want to know where you guys are because we believe you are here on purpose. Well, guys, we're about to jump right into our worship experience. Prepare your hearts. Get out your coffee. Open up your Bible. Get your notes ready. We're jumping right into our worship experience. God bless you guys.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Christ Church. We are glad that you're with us. Why don't you stand with us? Whether you're in the house this morning, you're at your house worshiping with us, we all want to dwell in His house forever. So that's what this first song says. Let's sing it to the Lord.
Dwell in your may be seated.
It's great to be dwelling together in His house today. Amen.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who set their heart on the truth. Hallowed be your dwelling place. My soul longs for the courts of the Lord. Hallowed is your dwelling place. My heart cries out for the living God. Better is one day in your court than a thousand somewhere else. Blessed is the man who trusts. Dwelling place, my soul longs for the courts of the Lord. Hallowed is your dwelling place. My heart cries out for the living God.
All right, we're going to do something a little different this morning. We're all going to read some theology together. It'll help us understand why God's dwelling place is so great. So if you look at the screens and just read along with us. Ready? God has all life in and of Himself. God has all glory in and of Himself. God has all goodness in and of Himself. God has all blessedness in and of Himself. God is self-sufficient. God alone is the fountain of all life. God exercises a sovereign reign over all existence. God sees everything and nothing is hidden from Him.
About Jim the last 2 weeks, huh? He needs to stay in Ohio for one more week, right? Hey guys, we desire to be a 7 day a week church. We always have and we always will. And during this time that you guys maybe can't be here 7 days a week, we want to bring church to you 7 days a week. We bring this service every Sunday morning as well as our other two services every Sunday morning. We've got a Monday night and a Wednesday night live stream. But we want to do that 7 days a week. But to do that, we're looking to build a team of volunteers for our new online media ministry. So whether you have any experience, no experience, lots of experience, we want you. We want you to be a part of this awesome ministry, this opportunity to get this content out, this live content 7 days a week in this exciting new ministry. So come as you are. Many of you got an email regarding that this weekend, so check your email for that. Or you can call the office, and they've got all the details there. We also have a great service opportunity coming up. You guys have been so generous with collecting hygiene kits, and we've handed those out to so many communities throughout Northeast Ohio. And right now, 2100 Men's Shelter is in need of some additional hygiene kits. So check out the Serve tab on our app, or you can check out the Serve section of ChristChurchOhio.org. All the items are there that you'd like, that they're looking for, and you can drop those off right in the foyer, the main foyer here at Main Campus, any day of the week that we're open. And then finally, church, it is just so good to see you all. It's so good to see all you live streamers and everybody out in the parking lot. I hope you enjoy the service.
You are high and lifted up, King of righteousness and love. We adore you, we rejoice in you. You are high and lifted up.
Oh, come on.
You are high and lifted up, King of righteousness and love. We adore you, we rejoice in you. You are high and lifted up.
Who can compare?
Who can compare to you?
Who can compare to you?
Who else is faithful and true?
You are high and lifted up.
You are high and lifted up, King of righteousness and love. We adore you, we rejoice in you. You are high and lifted up.
Who can compare?
Who can compare? Is faithful and true. You are high and lifted up, oh, King of righteousness and love. We adore you, we rejoice in you. You are high and lifted up.
We adore you.
We adore you, we rejoice in you.
right, man, that's a great start. I want to tell Paul, thank you for reminding us of how wonderful God is. It's easy for us to take God for granted. It's easy to create a cloudy idea in our head instead of having crystal clarity about his majesty, his beauty, his dignity, his wonder. And I always like to be reminded of how awesome God is. Oh Lord, you are the God of peace. Your peace can guard our hearts and minds, but you also want your peace to rule in our hearts and minds. You tell us that your peace is beyond our ability to understand. And so we ask your Spirit to guide us so that we can receive your peace and be people of peace. In Christ's name, amen. In 2006, they were doing an excavation about 6 miles from Tel Aviv Airport. And they dug up this jar that's called the Sinker of Yehud. The jar's about 7 inches tall, and the spout for the jar goes right through the body of the seated figure, and the hat is actually the rim of the jar. So when the archaeologists dug this up, one of their leading questions was, when was it made? And they figured out between 1800 and 1600 BC. So if you want to put this in the Bible, from about the time of Jacob until about halfway through the Egyptian bondage. Then the next thing the archaeologist said is, can we figure anything out about what the guy was thinking? And if we can, what will that tell us about the culture? And so when they wanted to know what the guy was thinking, they took a closer look at his posture and his face. And if you've ever been to the Cleveland Art Museum, you've seen The Thinker by Rodin. And they immediately associated this with The Thinker by Rodin. You can see he's posed in a thoughtful place. And if you look very closely, you can see they did extra work to try to make some kind of expression on his face. So what was he thinking? Well, this might help you. They also found in this tomb 3 daggers, 2 spearheads, an axe head, and a knife head. And they found the sacrificed remains of 2 male sheep and a donkey. And they think the guy who was buried there was a warrior. So now they're kind of perplexed. Is the thinker thinking some brilliant thought that makes the world a better place? Or was he sitting there planning how he could destroy his enemies? We don't know. But that's kind of the human race, isn't it? We have the capability of thinking incredible things. I pray every day that these very smart doctors and researchers would get the right idea and have the breakthrough for a cure. I pray for them every day. You can complain or you can pray. So I'm trying to pray more and complain less. We have the capability of understanding this incredible universe we live in. We have the ability to understand the way the body works and electromagnetism and all this other stuff. But we also have a terrible capacity to think very, very, very ugly things. The human race has the capacity to think some very ugly things. Every one of us in this room are our own best friends or our own best enemies, and it's by what we think. When I'm thinking right, I am my own best friend. When I'm letting my mind be wicked, I am my own worst enemy. Do you find that to be true? And so the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us about peace. And peace starts in our minds. It doesn't start on the outside. So Paul says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In all these passages on peace we've looked at, Paul tries again and again, and the other authors try again and again to say, God's peace is different than the peace you get in the world. You can't get God's peace from anything other than God. Just two verses after this verse, Paul said, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the peace of God will be with you. The peace of God can be learned, received, heard, and seen. But it has to be through us. I have to be able to distinguish between the peace of the world and the peace of God. Let's do some comparisons. When Paul wrote this, the Romans were ruling by Pax Romana, the Roman peace. But let me tell you, it meant two things: brutality and bribery. They kept the peace by just beating the crap out of anybody who didn't agree with them. And if they couldn't beat the crap out of you, they bribed you. That's Roman peace. Of course, you know that's not real peace at all, right? That's a myth. In the last years, way too many times I've stood here and there's been a young person who was trying to find peace in heroin right here in a casket. There was something about their life that the only time they felt peace is when heroin was flowing through their veins, or methane, or fentanyl. Church, that's not peace. There's the peace of apathy. I've seen people be at peace because they just quit caring about anything. I don't care. There's another peace that's really a great peace, but you can't hold on to it. The peace of nature. Have you ever felt the peace of nature? I've been out on my motorcycle in a little two-lane road in somewhere in Pennsylvania or West Virginia or Kentucky or Tennessee. Only God knows where I am. And I'm not sure he's real sure. Tulane, you can smell the life around you. You can smell the forest. And I've just felt peace. The problem is I can go 50 miles down the road and there's Mr. Stupid in his car making my life miserable. Huh? I love that peace that nature gives you, but you can't hold on to it. If you could just bundle it and put it in your pocket and take it out. But it is elusive. It is a beautiful peace, but it's a peace that can't be held on to. So Paul says, I'm not talking to you about the peace that you can get through politics. I'm not talking to you about the peace you can get through drugs. I'm not talking to you about the peace that comes from not caring. I'm not even talking to you about the beauty of the peace of nature. I'm talking to you about something that is better than all of that. And then he gives us three defining characteristics for the peace of God. One, God's peace is beyond our capacity to hold in our thoughts. It rises above my thoughts. It is superior to my thoughts. It surpasses my very best thoughts. Can you remember the time in your life when you felt the most peace? I know it's hard to. It's easy to remember the bad stuff. It's hard to remember the good stuff, isn't it? Don't we find it easier to remember the bad stuff? Well, let me share one with you. I was on a motorcycle road trip. We were coming north out of Hickory and Asheville. And you go up this big mountain, and then there's one of those pull-offs on the side, and at the top of the mountain, you can see forever. It drops away, the mountains drop away into that plain that comes after them, and you can see forever. I remember standing there going, just thinking about that moment, I feel that. My very best thoughts about peace are inferior to the true peace of God. I can't think as high as the true peace of God. The peace God wants you to have is better than any thought of peace you've ever had. God's freedom from anxiety is superior to what I think it is. We all have acceptable levels of anxiety in our life. Some people it's a little lower, some people it's a little higher. Everybody here has accepted a certain level of anxiety. We just take it as life. All right. Whatever level you have accepted as normal in your life, God wants something better for you. He wants to lower your acceptable level of anxiety. He wants to give you a peace that lowers your acceptable level of daily anxiety. It's better than what you have accepted for yourself. God's peace is a freedom from oppressive thoughts. Do you ever get thoughts in your head that are oppressive? And you think it again, and you think it again, and you think it again. Anybody? Man, this is a wonderful group. You got to get a better pastor. Have you ever had that thought? And it's not a good thought, but there it is. Maybe this will clue you in. Have you ever been mad at somebody and say, the next time I see him, I'm going to say this and this and this? You can feel your anxiety going up when you do that, right? You start getting an adrenaline rush. Huh? And then you start adding on. At first, you were just going to tell them they were stupid. Now you're going to insult their whole family. And okay. Oppressive thoughts. Sometimes in our family, we talk about worst first. So worst first is, there's something wrong with your car, and you automatically say, oh, brother, this is going to cost $5,000. Worst first. Somebody that we know and love, the electricity went out for about 5 minutes, and he said, all right, get out the shovels. We're going to have to empty that freezer. It's all ruined. It was a freezer. We didn't have to shovel anything out. I mean, it was just fine. But that's the worst first thinking, right? And it can bother every one of us. It can bother every one of us. Listen to what Paul is saying. The anxiety that you feel from these thoughts, these oppressive thoughts, Christ has a peace that will be greater than those thoughts. Now, if you look at the verse again, there's an important word in here, and it's all. The peace of God, the one that is above all thoughts. Whatever your best thought about peace is, God's peace is better. If we all got in a room and did our very best thinking, and we all had two or three great and super ideas about the peace of God, his peace would be better than all our best thoughts. Can you hear this, church? God wants to give you a peace that you can't understand yourself. It is a divine peace. It is a rich peace. It is a lasting peace. The second characteristic of this peace is God's peace guards our thoughts and feelings. The word that gets translated guards is a military term picturing soldiers standing on guard duty, defending a city. It refers to the guards standing at the gates. So let's put this image in our mind. God's peace wants to be like an army of guards guarding your mind and your heart. He wants to be guarding the gate of your mind and heart. You know the old John Wayne movies where the guy got too rowdy and they picked him up and threw him out of the bar onto the street? That's what God wants to do with the bad thoughts and feelings. He wants to throw them out on the street. God's peace guards our emotions from anxiety. God's peace guards our thoughts from oppressive and evil thoughts. And I want to remind you that this divine protection is on the inside. God isn't going to go around your life every day and make everything peaceful. You got that? You're going to have to put up with the same nonsense everybody around you does. But you're going to have a guarding peace that they don't have. Church. The third characteristic, God's peace is mediated through Jesus Christ. How do I get God's peace? Well, I can't sit and do transcendental meditation. That's fine, but when you're done, you're done. God's peace has to be lingering. So I want to talk about this peace through Christ in two ways. We begin to experience the peace of God by saving peace. Would you open your heart to me a minute? Every one of us have to have a moment in our life where we get dead serious with Christ and we say, I'm not the person I should be. I've sinned. I've disappointed you. I know things about myself that I'm ashamed of. Church, we have to have that moment where we are brutally honest with Christ and say, I know I've failed you, and I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? Would you please come into my life and make me a better person than I can be by myself? Would you please create peace between my soul and God? Church, it all starts there. You're never going to have lasting peace if you don't have saving peace. My mentor Charles Spurgeon wrote, "A man conscious of being guilty can never know the peace of God till he becomes equally conscious of being forgiven." You see what happens? The thoughts that I know about myself that rob my peace are replaced by the thoughts of the presence and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. Now, I want to talk about everyday living peace. 2 Corinthians 3:15. In this sermon, this series, I wanted this to be a sermon by itself, but there were too many sermons, and I could only do 10, so I put this into this sermon, okay? Colossians 3:15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." All right, in Philippians, Paul says, "The peace that passes understanding will guard your heart and mind." But now he says, you gotta let it rule in your heart and mind. This word for rule is also a unique word. It means to referee, to be an umpire, to decide, to make the final decision. If I'm going to have the peace of God, then I have to let the peace of Christ have the final decision in my heart and in my mind. I surrender the right to make the final call. The church has let the ugliness of culture invade. Some of you have been infuriated because somebody has a different opinion about this disease than you do. You've been absolutely infuriated. Did the peace of Christ make that call, or did your ego make that call? Church? I'm not Fauci. I've got my own opinions. But I'm not going to be angry with any Christian brother or sister who sees it different than I do, because I want the peace of Christ to have the final call. And Christ would rather have me love somebody I disagree with than slaughter them on the internet. Some of you better hope your internet messages don't make it to the great white throne. Brothers and sisters, can you hear me? The election is just months away. And every time there's an election, I have to go through this with the church, where you put your politics ahead of Christ. Is that letting the peace of Christ have the final call in your heart? I think everybody should vote, and you ought to vote for the person you think can do the best. But what I don't think we should do is brutalize each other at church because you have a political opinion that everybody doesn't bow down and do homage to. It's your opinion. This is America. We vote for who we want to vote for. Politics aren't the church. I believe in separation of church and state. All through this thing, this church did not take one dime from the government. In fact, we supported government feeding programs. I believe in separation of church and state. And by that I mean, no matter what your political opinion is, you are my brother and sister in Christ first. And I'm going to let the peace of Christ have the final call on how I treat you. And I know some of you are going to send me emails and say, oh, didn't you read that this politician did this and did that? No, I live in an underground bunker, and I only come out on Sundays. Church, would you do this with me? Would we let the peace of Christ rule? That means he gets the final call. He gets the final call. And his final call is, your brother or sister doesn't have to agree with you. And you have to treat them with the peace that passes understanding. Church, I want to go to a church like that. I want to be around people like that. The world desperately needs the church to be like that. Because if we don't do it, as I told you last week, it's not going to get done. This word means to referee, call fair and foul. All right. I didn't play basketball because I believed that basketball was for boys who couldn't wrestle. My basketball buddies told me wrestling was for boys who couldn't play basketball. All right. I know in basketball, though, there's a referee who calls fouls. I've played pickup basketball and seen people stand and argue for 20 minutes about whether it was a foul or not. I'm here to play. It's called playing basketball. I'm not here to argue about fouls. All right. Somebody's got to call fair and foul. In your life, who calls fair and foul? In your life, who calls fair and foul? That is a fair way to treat that person. That is not a fair way to treat that person. That's a foul. Brothers, in your relationship to your wife and kids, who calls fair and foul? Are you letting the peace of Christ rule so that Christ says to you, that's not the way to treat your wife. That's not the way to treat those kids. Sisters, are you letting Christ call fair and foul in your life? Or have you made up your mind, you know your husband, and if you don't scold him every couple of days, things will go off the rails. Church, fair and foul. Who gets to make that call? When the peace of Christ is ruling in my heart, he gets to make that call. I'm not in rebellion. I'm saying to Christ, you get the final call, and your peace that's ruling in my heart is how I decide what your call is. Will this raise the peace of Christ in me? Will this raise the peace of Christ in my family? Will this raise the peace of Christ in my friendships? Or am I going to act in a kind of way that I lose my peace and I rob everybody around me of their peace? Are we letting the peace of Christ rule? Do we let the peace of Christ get the final call? All right, I always want to tell you how. If you want the peace that passes understanding to guard your heart and mind, if you want the peace of Christ to rule, here's a how-to list. One, meditate on the infinite grace and kindness of Christ. Paul shared with us that meditation from the Westminster Confession. It's the definition of God, and you could think about this the rest of your life and barely scratch the surface. All right, let me say this, okay. I want peace to rule in my heart. So I stop watching cable TV. I stop thinking about the idiots I work with. I stop thinking about the worst of my family. And I say, dear God, help me to think clearly about your grace and your kindness. I'm lifting my thoughts toward the infinite character of God. And I'm thinking about how many times has God treated me better than what I deserve? How many times has God been so kind to me? All right, now when I think about that, I start adding to those thoughts thanksgiving. See, what thanksgiving does, it raises your peace. You can't be saying thank you and not feel peace. In the very same way that you can't feel angry and ripped off and have peace. I mean, it doesn't have to be complicated. You can just start looking around. Thank God for my drop-dead gorgeous wife. I could have had to marry somebody that looks like whoever. Thank God for my ridiculous kids. Smartest kids in America. Thank God for my awesome grandkids. Thank God for my dog that reads New Testament Greek. She's so smart. Thank God for my backyard. Thank God for this ridiculous recliner I have that must have been created by God to fit me perfectly. Thank God that I drive the finest vehicle that's ever been driven on the road, Ford F-150. Sorry. Just start saying, look at how God has been gracious to me. And turn it into thanksgiving. Because, you see, my peace goes up as I am thankful. My peace goes down as I'm angry and resentful. 3, invite Christ into your life decisions. He'll make better calls than you do. Have you ever made an important decision when you were very upset? You were very upset. You knew you were upset. You felt like you could bite through a cinder block, and you made the decision anyway. Well, I've done it. Well, don't ask me how it turned out. It didn't turn out well. Because I wasn't letting Christ mediate in my life. I was making a decision from a very bad place. I've also said, I'm not deciding yet. I'm going to sit peacefully and quietly, and I'm going to talk to Christ about this, and then I'll decide. I've made better decisions that way. Do you hear this? When the peace of Christ is lowering your anxiety and increasing your well-being, you think better thoughts. You make better decisions. Not only do you make better decisions, the people around you feel something of the reality of God. 4, let Christ elevate your thoughts and feelings to his superior peace. All right, sometimes I need a freebie, church. I need to just sit quietly and say to Christ, would you please grant me grace? And could your peace that goes beyond what I understand guard my heart and mind right now? I say a prayer like this. I feel that I am anxious and I'm not thinking in a healthy way. I'm asking that the peace of Christ would guard my heart and mind. I just quiet myself and ask God for help. Church, you have not because you ask not. See, I can just, and look, I don't have to get down on my knees in public. I don't have to recite the 119th Psalm. I can just quietly in my heart of hearts say to Christ, you promised peace, and I need it right now. You promised me a peace better than I could figure out myself, and I need it right now. You said your peace would rule in my heart, and my heart and mind is out of control right now, and I'm praying that your peace would rule. You try that. I promise you, it will benefit you. Finally, when you mess up, return quickly. I'm not going to keep my peace. I'm going to have moments where I mess up. But you know what I do? I want to return quickly. I don't want a half hour of anxious ugliness to set the tone for my whole day. I want to let it go. I want to get back to the ruling peace of Christ. I don't want one ugly day to control my life for the next month. I want to get back to the peace of Christ, church. I want to return to the peace of Christ as quickly as I possibly can. When the peace that passes understanding is guarding my heart and mind, when the peace of Christ is ruling in my heart and mind, then we become what Jesus taught, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. One more time. When the peace of Christ that passes all understanding is guarding my heart and mind, and the peace of Christ is ruling in my heart and mind, then the life I begin to live is a life of a peacemaker, and people say, those are the real followers of Christ. Those people are the real deal. Our dear Heavenly Father, I have lived far too often astray from the guarding peace and the ruling peace. And so I pray for myself and for everyone who's here this morning. I pray for the reality of this scripture to be functioning in our life. I pray that your peace would guard our minds and hearts. I pray that your peace would rule in our minds and hearts. And I pray that because it reigns and because it guards, we become known as the peacemakers, the children of God. Amen.
Seems like all I could see was a struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures, wondering how long is this gonna last. Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. All my life I have been called. the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head, I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. Shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. 'Cause his day is long dead and gone. Because I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same, and a hope that will carry me home. I am redeemed. You set me free. Shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. Oh, so I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be. Oh God, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Thank God I'm redeemed.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you, church. We appreciate you guys joining us, man. It has been phenomenal, man. What a message. I've enjoyed this series. I hope you have as well. If you haven't caught up in a couple of the other messages about peace, man, I beg you, I encourage you to go search on our church website and look for those messages. A couple of things that I took away from this was, man, listen, about peace, I need to hear that every single day. I need God's peace more and more in my life. With the chaos and everything going on, man, I need to hear messages more and more like this. I'm thankful for our pastor who is able to give us and show us what God wants for us in the seasons that we get ourselves in. One thing I want to share was a couple things. God wants to share his peace to crush your anxiety. Think about that. God wants to share his peace. God has his peace. God doesn't grow anxious. He doesn't grow weary, and neither does he want to for us as well. So therefore, he shares a peace with us to crush the anxiety, to crush the stress, so that we can go on living our best life and living our best days. Number two, I took this down. I said God's peace guards us from doing things we shouldn't do and directs us towards things we should do. How about that? When God's peace is within, when I really sense his peace, when I ask for it and I receive it, it pushes me, it directs me to make decisions that are best for me. So I don't react out of anger, I don't react out of vengeance, I don't react out of anything else but peace. And I need this peace. And we need this peace, because I don't know about you, I get myself caught up making the wrong decisions daily. Can I get an amen? But God's peace helps us to make the right calls. Doc said that we need a referee in our lives. And that's where Christ gets to come in, tells us when we got it right and gets to tell us when we got it wrong. But last but not least, I want you guys to know this one. Peace is something that has to be practiced. We got to do something on it. God wants to give it to us. Therefore, friends, we have to receive it. But once you receive it, we have to put this thing into motion. We have to put it into practice. So I urge you and I beg you, and I want that for you. But most of all, God wants that for you as well. I want to end and close in prayer. And anybody who wants that peace, I want you to repeat the words after me. And I want you to quiet your heart and quiet your mind and ask God to give you this peace so that you can have the life that He's called you to live. Father, I thank you for today. Father, I pray that the message that we heard today is not just something we just take in today and forget about tomorrow. No, I pray that today's message follows up with tomorrow. And it goes through our Tuesday, and it shows up on Wednesday, and it shows up on Thursday. As a matter of fact, it's something that we can make a habit in our lives. I'm praying for the brother and that sister that is out there listening to this message, who needs this peace. Who needs this peace because they're facing anxiety and facing stress daily and often, and they're making calls and decisions that are hurting and harmful for their faith, to their family, and their relationships. But God, I pray that you would quiet their hearts and that peace would resonate and that peace would linger and that peace would penetrate and it would do something remarkable within them and they would be blessed by what you give them. I love you, Lord, and I accept you and I thank you and I need you. You are my Redeemer, my Waymaker, but also, most importantly, you are the God of peace. I love you, and I thank you. In Jesus' perfect name is who I pray. Amen. Well, thank you, guys. I love you. We love you. We can't wait to see you next week. Take care.